Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
And a very good evening. Welcome along to the Movie Review Show with me, not Tozin, it's Brian. And in the studio as well, we've got Sharon, Sean and Seb.
Hello.
Hello there.
Good. And if you hear a bit of like a storm going on in the background, it's because we've got the fans on. Because it's mighty hot.
It is mighty hot.
We need it today.
Yeah. Right. Now then, we haven't really collectively seen much this week, have we?
We haven't.
I think, yeah, there doesn't seem to have been a lot of new releases out this week. Not that I've noticed, anyway.
I think that's to do with the World Cup, because Jurassic World was released 2 weeks before,
yes.
The 2 weeks before it was released in America. So, and I think that's purely for the World Cup, and everybody's thought, well,
let's clear the decks a little bit.
Yeah, let's not release too much because it's going to compete with the World Cup. And of course, it's a good job they did, because even that England, well, that's tonight.
Well, people have no expectations, and now suddenly everyone's going, oh, it's coming home. Even though it's a bit early yet, they've still got that. There's that feeling, isn't there, building that
there is.
This might be something a bit different, this World Cup, because we're so used to going, come on, England, for the first couple of games. And then after that, it's like, oh, whatever. Yeah, but this year, it's the opposite, isn't it? We've gone from whatever to, could we be looking at a better team?
And our bogey team, the Germans, have
gone. They've gone.
Which is gone, yeah. So maybe there might be a bit of a role reversal over the next year.
I saw a wonderful photoshopped photo on Facebook earlier today, and it's the inside of a jet plane with all the seats, but on about the first six rows, the seats had German striped towels on the seats.
Talk about stereotypes.
Yeah, but it must be so disheartening, though, if you are passionate about your team.
Yeah.
Because we've been there. I mean,
We've been there for so long.
Yeah, when I was office-based, we used to have the television on in our restroom all day long on World Cups. And if ever there was a match that anyone was interested in, it was on all the time. And you'd just nip in and out, watch what was going on. And whenever England was playing, there was like an unspoken agreement that we could go and watch. And everyone would be piled into the restroom and the dining room shouting.
Do you know what? I've got a theory. And I think, over the years, I've got a theory that because we're so convinced that we're not going to do very well, you know, in the past, we've been convinced. You get all that meeting of minds, people, and this all over the world, and the fans in the stadium, and they've all got this mind that, oh no, and it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Whereas this World Cup, it's just like, well, you know, we're not expecting nothing, and so all the meeting of minds, but it is a worry that.
I don't know if it's just me, but I didn't know anyone on the team. I mean, I think because that WAGS generation of footballers, you know, the ones you go, oh, they're more famous for their girlfriends and their lifestyle than they are for their playing ability. Because that lot have sort of more or less retired now from the playing. This team is like a young, fresh team, and they seem to be playing as a team rather than all these personalities that are fighting for the front page or the back pages.
Yeah.
So I think this year it feels just different, doesn't it?
Feels a team rather than individual players.
Yeah.
I'm not a great fan of football. I think the last one I watched was 1966.
Wow. When you was a young wee whippersnapper.
I was. I was 15 and I watched it then.
Yeah,
well, they're coming onto the pitch. They think it's all over.
It is now.
Yay.
Good. Right.
Right, okay.
We're here for movies, though.
Yeah, we are.
That's it. We're not here about football. Unless we want to talk about football-related films, but there aren't many of them, are there?
No.
Escape to Victory, I think. That's about it.
Mm. They don't. Football films don't work. On movies, they don't.
They
it's
don't.
Surprising.
Yeah.
American sports films do, but British sports don't seem to equate to making.
They're saying that my mum was watching one about United, about the Busby Babes. There was a great film about that not that long ago.
The Damned United.
That was the other one that was.
Yeah, this one was about the Busby Babes, about the Munich air crash.
But I saw the Damned United.
The Damned United
was
Brian Clough. Sorry,
was a very good film.
Yeah, that was a really good film, but that wasn't much to do with that.
Wasn't about the sport, was it? The game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, moving on.
I could tell you some good sports films, I hope, if you want.
Right. Well, perhaps we'll come to that a bit later on. But Sharon, let's go to you because you have at least.
I've actually been to pictures this week. Yes.
Yeah.
I still like to say the pictures because
it's,
we've been to pictures. I have been to see Ocean's 8, which Tosin and Sean reviewed last week from their chap's perspective.
Yeah.
So I've gone and seen it with my gal pals. And, we really liked it, first off. So Ocean's 8, just a quick recap for those who haven't seen it yet or haven't really heard much about it. It is part of the Ocean's sort of universe, as in Ocean's 11, 12, 13. And Sandra Bullock's character plays the sister of Danny Ocean, played by George Clooney in the earlier Ocean's films. And you see at the beginning of the film she's been in prison for 5 years and she's been planning this big heist. And the film, sort of as the film unfolds, it's how this heist is sort of executed and planned and then executed. And so, and you have this gathering of her team, like you in the with the other Ocean's films, you get these, each character is introduced to build up the 11 or the 12 or the 13. And this one, you sort of, as the story opens up, they need a fence, so you meet the fence. They need someone who can, they're looking for a clothes designer, so they meet the clothes designer. They're looking for someone who's good on computers, so all the characters are assembled and then they sort of plan the heist. It's, I think it's a classic sort of almost like Dirty Dozen type thing, where you've got all these characters, then you get them together, they have their own moments in the sort of spotlight, then you work as a team, and then you have the actual execution of the plan. And it worked very well. And the plan of this is that it's the Met Gala, which is a huge fashion event, first week in May every year at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And each year it's a theme, and you have to dress to impress based on the theme. And this year it's on royalty. And as part of the special exhibition, they're showing some famous pieces of jewellery from different royal houses around the world that have been lent to the Met. But there is this one necklace that's in the Cartier vault that's never been seen in public for 50 years because of its value. And they get this designer to work with a Hollywood actress to say, you know, for my Met Gala appearance, I'd like to wear this Cartier necklace. It'd be huge publicity for Cartier, and it'd be on Vogue for me. And so that's the premise, is that they try to then steal this necklace. And they do it in an intriguing and in an entertaining way.
Mm. And it's an all-female cast.
All-female cast. There's two boys in it, both British boys, actually. Richard Armitage, he's in it as well. And then James Corden is in it. And they both play their parts very well.
They do. I like the James Corden part, actually. Yeah. I mean, in the trailer, I didn't think I was going
to... No, you think, what is he?
What's he doing?
But he's completely different to how you see him in the trailer. And then Richard Armitage isn't featured in the trailer. But you do see him, and because when I was watching the trailer, I sort of did a double take and thought, was that Richard Armitage? You know?
Oh. Mm. Yeah, there was a few cameos as well.
There were a few cameos. If you know the people who are, you know, who's who of the fashionistas, the people who... They talk about Anna Wintour from Vogue, and they have other people who appear in these fashion pages. I don't know one from the other. So it was only when they had a list of people at the end as themselves that I was scanning them going, don't know who they are. Oh, that, I know that one. But yeah, they had a lot of people who would be at the Met Gala, the real Met Gala, appear and sort of sashay around in their fabulous outfits. So yeah, I thought it was very entertaining. I thought that it was well executed, well planned. All the characters work. Helena Bonham Carter, who I've always really liked, plays an Irish dress designer, and I thought her Irish accent wasn't too Irish.
It wasn't too Irish, but it was like she'd been in America for a while,
yes,
wasn't it? It was quite good. It was like a...
It wasn't the old dee 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 accent, which you normally think, yeah, don't do that.
For sure it's not.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, one of them. Big horror.
Yeah.
And all the
yeah. But it was there, but it was, I mean, I thought it was quite well done, because it wasn't, you know, it was like an Americanized, because I think you do, if you live in a place for a while.
You do absorb it, yeah.
You know, you pick up a few, because when I lived in America for a little while, and... You know, a lot of Americans thought I was Australians, but I sort of picked up a bit, and I'd be like, "Hey, buddy," and stuff like that, but still with an English accent, you know. Yeah, good
but
job.
No, I thought it was. I enjoyed, and you enjoyed it as well, didn't you, Sean? When
yeah,
you
I enjoyed it.
It.
Yeah, I gave it 3 stars. I mean, it was, you know, it was incredibly fortunate and incredibly lucky with how it all went, and it went off really, really smoothly, really, in the whole, you know. But yeah, no, it was an enjoyable movie. I don't think it would have been possible, but it was
When you see how these heists, I don't think if you wanted to actually steal a jewellery like of that magnitude, I don't think you would actually better use this film as a template of how to do it.
No, because I'm pretty sure, you know, it's just a series of
all the things that
events.
They did. You're thinking,
you did as well, yeah. But I mean, it was an enjoyable movie, and it was, and it was well acted. I totally agree with you. The characters, was it? Who's the motorcycle one?
Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett, yeah. Absolutely. She was... She
Run us through who was in it. Go on. There's Kate Blanchett.
You've got Sandra Bullock, mm-hmm. Helena Bonham Carter.
Kate Blanchett.
There's Rihanna.
Rihanna's in it.
Someone called Awkwafina, who I don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. Mandy Kaling. Is it Mindy Kaling? Someone like that.
It's a good cast,
Anne Hathaway.
Anyway. Yeah, Anne Hathaway, yeah.
They were all very well. They all did their bit very well, and it's very intelligent. So we don't do half points here, do we? So I would probably give it an optimistic 4.
There you go, 4. I think me and Tozin gave it a 3. I seem to remember. Yeah,
but I would say I couldn't find many. Well, normally I start with a perfect score, and then I take one off for everything I think is awful about it. And I thought, it was all very neat, wasn't it? The
it
way
was
everything
very,
worked
very neat,
just so perfectly for them that you think, it's just a little bit too neat. You want to have the odd moment of tension where you're thinking, oh, this could go horribly wrong. There's no moment. There's hardly any tension in it at all. But it was thoroughly entertaining and an enjoyable, couple of hours spent in the cinema. So, I'd give it a low 4.
A low 4. So it was a heist enabled by good fortune, you'd say?
Yes, I definitely
rather
would say
than
that.
Actual planning and realism.
Yeah, exactly right.
Good. Okay. So we now move into a sort of grey area today of good, bad and ugly. And I think we're going to look back over the first 6 months of the year, since we're now coming to the end of June.
Yeah, and a lot of these films are now available on your chosen platform, so you can see them on some of the streaming sites, you can watch them on DVD, Blu-ray, whatever your chosen method of watching films are. A lot of these are becoming available now that have gone through their cinema releases. Mm-hmm. If you're really inclined, I think 50 Shades Freed is out on DVD.
You liked that, didn't you, Jo?
Well, I went to see it. You know, I almost like feel, you know, yeah, stand up for the girls, yay, watch something about women, and it was all right. I mean, it's not my cup of tea particularly. I think if someone tried to spank me, I'd punch them, quite but it was entertaining for what it was.
Just on that note, because I recall that the other week you were talking about the book club and the fact that it didn't happen in the Cineworld cinemas during that week.
Marilyn, so it was a failing, wasn't there? Yeah.
That's it. Marilyn and her sister managed to see it on the Friday anyway and thoroughly enjoyed it. So.
Yeah, because that had a link to the 50 Shades franchise.
That's right.
Oh, good. I'm glad finally they got to see it. Yeah, because I felt so sorry for them.
Yeah, because if the film breaks down, or they were sat watching endless trailers, weren't they, for an hour?
That's right, yeah.
And you keep thinking, any minute now, the film's going to start, so you don't give up because you think, well, any minute now, you can bet your life, as soon as I get up and go, it's going to start. So that's you keep holding on and keep holding on. So you can understand why you would waste effectively an hour waiting for the film when it never appeared.
And I think at one point they had some sound, but not any picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that happened to me. I went to see Victoria and Abdul last year, and it was all spectrumised. You had all the different colours. You had sort of like pink, yellow and blue outlines around all of the characters, like when you're watching a 3D film without the 3D glasses.
Right.
And it was like that for the first 10 minutes, and we were like going, there's nothing wrong with the picture.
Yeah,
and in the end they just stopped it, they started all over again.
They should go back to celluloid, shouldn't they, and then have a projectionist that can actually do it rather than all this modern,
because by the time
they've
spotted
stuff,
there's something wrong, by the time they've had a panic of like, oh, what button do we abort.
In the olden times you'd have a instead of restarter, you'd have a projectionist in the projection booth, wouldn't you? And whatever the problem was, it could sort it out maybe in a couple of minutes, you know.
So things do happen, but I think they're good about rectifying, aren't they, and apologising and getting it back on track again.
They did sort it in the end.
Yes. Good old Cineworld.
Right. Let's have Sean. You were saying there were some that you'd seen not necessarily on the big screen. We'll go with that, and then we'll do a section of the good, bad and the ugly after the ad break.
Just really quickly, I've revisited some films since, you know, as there's been nothing on, I've sort of revisited some on the different media platforms like you've said, and I never really I used to give The Hurt Locker a bad time, and I know that won an Oscar, and it's a Catherine Bigelow film, and I actually watched The Hurt Locker again, and I thought, do you know, this is not so bad as I thought it was. So I'm going to have to apologise to all the people that where I said I didn't like The Hurt Locker, because it was quite good. So that's a second view. And I also watched the new Magnificent Seven, you know, the latest Magnificent Seven.
Yes, we saw that at the cinema, didn't we?
We did. We went to see that together, and I really enjoyed that again. So that's quite good. What else did I visit that I didn't like? Batman vs Superman, which I really didn't. I was really, really vitriolic and venomous about that movie. I thought, oh, it's not quite so bad. And I've often thought about this, and I've thought that because the Batman Superman one, I have actually went to the midnight showing, and I do think that
when you go in tired.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. So I've sort of made a decision that I'm not going to go and see a midnight showing of any movie again, you know, because of the times I haven't enjoyed them. So, but I know some people, it's like a big offence, isn't it?
Yeah, well, as soon as it's out, I think they want to avoid spoilers, don't they, primarily? Yeah. And it's like, they don't have anyone say anything about the film. They want to go in completely open. But I've never gone to a midnight showing.
But what was really, really great was on film 4, they showed the 1976 Assault on Precinct 13, the original. Yeah. They said, oh, this hasn't been aired for 10 years on film 4, probably as anyone else. I've watched that about three times because, as I say, that is my third favourite film. I could more or less.
Is that the one that starts with the little girl shot at the ice cream van?
Well, that's a little bit later on in the film. Yeah, that's the film.
One of the catalysts.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember. I have seen that version.
Yeah, yeah. It's a terrific movie. So if you get a chance to watch it, and I think reviewed that there was a show up the hospital which it was reviewed, and Tozin loves this movie as well. So Tozin, wherever you are, if you're listening, you know. Yeah, Assault on Precinct 13, 1976. Not the latest one, not the modern one, because... And I would have liked... I hated the modern one. And yet, I would have liked the modern one if they hadn't called it Assault on Precinct 13. If they'd have called it Siege of a Police Station or something like that, then I would have thought it would have been a good movie, but...
Oh. And it draws so many interesting comparisons, doesn't it, you think? Yeah, like with the Magnificent Seven, sometimes you're thinking you're always going to be comparing it like for like. Sometimes you think you'd be better off just... calling it something else.
Yeah, calling it something else. But The Magnificent Seven was really good, because I think that was an amalgamation. There was four Seven films, weren't there?
Yes.
Magnificent Seven, Return of the Seven, Guns of the Magnificent Seven, Magnificent Seven Ride. And to me, the characters in the recent Magnificent Seven were amalgamation of all the characters from all the other ones. So, but I think we did a show on that before.
Yeah, we did.
So I can forgive that. The Mechanic, I can't forgive. The Jason Statham one.
Who was it in the Charles Bronson in the original?
Yeah, and Death Wish, which is the latest one.
Charles Bronson in the original.
Charles Bronson in the original. So those two films have been remade, and they're not.
See, I didn't hate Death Wish remake, but I didn't think it had the sort of that visceral
impact,
violent quality of the first one. It was more violence for violence's sake, rather than he was so repelled and outraged by what had happened that he was forced into this situation of taking up violence. Whereas in this one, it was a bit like, you know, oh, yeah, I'll get a gun and, oh, yeah, I'll shoot people. You didn't feel that sense of outrage, that moral outrage that he felt, that Charles Bronson sort of conveyed, that drove him to that. You felt this is a man driven to his fate rather than someone who's, like, gone along for the ride. He's a man who's, powered by this this outrage.
And he didn't really enjoy it, did he? I mean, he was even sick at one point, wasn't he?
Because he was
quite a peaceful person, whereas in this one, I think it's a bit more...
And some of the things he does, the torturing and things. You think you're not doing that out of a sense of this moral outrage. You're doing that because you can inflict
pain.
Yeah. And whereas Charles Bronson didn't torture people, he wanted to get his revenge or seek justice. He's sort of seeking justice, not his revenge. And so there's quite a pole of they're completely different, coming from different places.
Okay. There's the line in The Magnificent Seven with that, where it goes, you want vengeance, and he goes, I want justice, but vengeance will do.
Well, we'll give it some justice to good, bad and ugly films after the break.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, for the people, by the people. Island Harbour presents The Breeze Restaurant and Bar. We offer a variety of delicious foods which can be enjoyed inside the recently refurbished restaurant or outside, overlooking the picturesque marina. Start your day well with something from our breakfast menu. Enjoy afternoon tea with a slice of freshly made cake, or drop by for an evening meal with the family.
We offer a range of tasty British classics with a choice of daily specials. Our produce is locally sourced to ensure quality and taste. The Breeze Restaurant and Bar, one of the Solent's best kept secrets. Call us today on 533-388.
Island Valentin is the Isle of Wight's most recommended mobile service. Check out their reviews on yale.com. Car valets from just £30. Call Keith or Darren on 0776-408-339. Or check online for Island Valentin at yale.com, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for photographs and customer reviews. Island Valentin, a perfect job every time.
A missing child, a murder. In a demanding, male-dominated world, WPC Villalli searches for clues, juggling career with her marriage and childcare. Policing's a tough job. Could you do it? Hold tight. I was hooked from page one, says Jill Kay in Genui magazine. Michelle McGorian, author of Goodnight, Mr. Tom, says Hold Tight is fantastic, unputdownable. Hold Tight by Felicity Fair Thompson. Available online or from your favourite bookshop.
Do you get annoyed with computerised call centres with multiple options, traffic congestion at Coppins Bridge, or perhaps your kids and family on the internet all the time? Well, it sounds like you need to relax and unwind with your family around Treble B's unique island handmade braziers with integral barbecue or fire pit. Order now. Call Neil at Treble B on 0770 331 773 or email trebleb.iow@gmail.com. A product for all seasons.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. marketing@vectisradio.fm.
And you're back with us. It's the film aficionados and me. I put myself in the, I'm not sure, category here. Right, we're going to talk about some good and the bad and the ugly of films this first half of the year. And I'm going to bring in Seb, our new brilliant film reviewer. Critic.
Film student.
Yeah.
Film studies.
So, Seb, good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Good evening.
And give us a hit with what you thought was good this year so far.
I think the one that stood out for me has got to be Love, Simon. It's just come out on DVD. I think I went to the cinema to see it three times. It's absolutely amazing. It's a really beautiful story. I think it's really good for teenagers. I don't think it matters if you're LGBT or not. I think it's just a good romance for anyone to go and see. But it's just... it's comedy, it's light-hearted, it's funny, but it's really important, I think, for now, and making people more socially aware and accepting.
Would it appeal to a different age group?
Yeah, I think it is aimed at sort of the younger generation, but I think it's good for older people because in it you kind of get the perspective of the parents sort of with their child coming out as gay. And so in that respect, it's kind of that learning curve and you can see that it's okay. And sort of that there's other people out there and maybe it's sort of being role models.
I think I saw a trailer for this. Is this the one where he's inadvertently outed on sort of like the school,
yes,
the computer system where,
yes,
he's emailing and then he's just... he's outed, but he's not, he's reluctantly outed, isn't he?
Yes, so it begins with he starts talking to someone at his school, but they don't know who each other are. But then he accidentally leaves his school email up and someone else uses the computer and then releases the email so that the other person knows it's Simon, but not the other way around.
Yes.
Sort of thing.
Oh, well, that's interesting, because I looked at it and I thought... you know, it's been 30 years since I left school. And it's obviously, and maybe longer for other people here.
Yes. Careful, careful.
Definitely.
And obviously, you know, school culture's changed so much. And you just, I'm just trying to think back to my school days. I don't know that there was anyone openly gay at school when I was there.
No.
I know certainly afterwards, you know, you people sort of, you know, become more open about their sexuality. But certainly when I was at school, it was just no one... talked about their sexuality.
The film issues a nice message with that. It's that there's one other out gay person at the school and they have a conversation that sort of says about why they didn't talk before, and it's kind of that thing that just because they both have the same sexuality doesn't mean they have to be attracted to each other. And so it's kind of giving a larger definition of what love should be. And so as he's searching to find who it is that he's been talking to, he kind of briefly falls in love with multiple people because he thinks it's them. And it kind of shows that love doesn't have to have a face, and it doesn't have to be the physical side of a person you're attracted to.
That sounds
cracking there.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah, I can see you're really enthused about it. It was one that I didn't catch, so, you know, because I mean there's a lot of these teen movies, isn't there, now?
Yeah, there's been some really great films out there that we just don't really explore on this show very much because we're just not the right demographic. So it's actually really good to hear from someone who's of that demographic to say, yeah, do you, obviously it's an American high school, do you think it sort of translates, is it identified?
Absolutely, I think, because the problems that it covers and addresses and all the things that he goes through, both the coming out to his parents and his friends and the whole school sort of getting used to it, and I think it's got a lot of gay culture in there as well, which becomes relatable for everyone. And the marketing was just done so well, sort of all the taglines were puns, and it was just so funny for everyone, I think.
I remember I watched a film with my daughter called Mean Girls. I know this sounds different, but I remember I had to watch it really. So is there like groups of students, like your jocks and your nerds and your...
Not so much.
It's not so much in this, mate.
It is sort of Simon's friends, the person that hacks his emails, and then the rest of the school sort of thing. It's just good. The category sort of what he has to face, and then what he realises he shouldn't have had to face, and that maybe it wasn't actually facing it at all, and just getting on with your life.
Wow.
Oh, it sounds like a really intriguing film, doesn't it?
Yep.
I have to wait for that to come out on Netflix.
So yeah. It's
out on DVD now.
All right. Okay. Good. And did you find any that you didn't particularly like in the first half of this year? Sounds like a football match.
It does, yeah.
I went to see most of the Marvel films that came out this year, and to be honest, I wasn't hugely impressed with Infinity War. I know.
Big breath.
Sorry, slap my wrists. I think it possibly had so much hype towards it, and I expected so much, and it just didn't quite reach that for me. I think they could have done a lot more to it. It was quite predictable. The things that did happen in there you knew would happen, and even now I'm kind of thinking, yeah, but that's just going to be reversed in the next one, so it doesn't matter.
That's the intriguing thing I think about it, is like, you think, are they just going to hit the rewind button, and is it just like it never happened? So I think how they handle the next one will have almost have an impact on how much you appreciate this one, because there's got to be some loss. Not that we don't want to give too many spoilers, but you've got to have a consequence, haven't you? And you think you can't just hit rewind and then it's reset and everything goes back to the beginning.
You've more or less perhaps thought of my theory what I've got a theory, and the ones that are left, the characters that are left, just have some thought on that and think about the characters that are left. So that's all I'm going to say. That's a theory of mine. It'd be interesting to see if I've
got
that.
But you don't want them to take the easy way out, do you?
No. So the characters that are left in this universe, I think, is really, really important for me. But I won't say, because otherwise it'd be too many spoilers.
But at the same time, there's kind of that idea that maybe the characters that now shouldn't be in part two, are they in the Soul Stone? Could they come back?
Could they come back?
And at the same time, you've got the Doctor Strange saying about the possibilities of the future, and that he has seen only one good outcome. And so it's kind of that, well, surely he would have stopped the events if they were kind of going wrong. So
Did you not enjoy the action, though?
The action was great.
Yeah,
the jokes that were in there were good. I think where they've just had sort of a run of much more sort of light-hearted, funny films, I think suddenly to go straight back into the serious action was a bit sort of risky, maybe, on their half.
Yeah. Well, they're all good points, aren't they?
They are really, really good points. But it made a ton of money.
Yeah, that's the main thing,
from
isn't it?
From Shawnee, where you have the unlimited car, but you saw it how many times?
I saw it about 3.5 times, I think, because I had an hour to kill, and I just thought, I thought I didn't have an hour. And the joy with the unlimited card is you can go in. So I just watched the one of the big fights at the beginning because I just wanted to see it again.
So and then everyone thinking, why did he get up and leave? What's gone with that one?
Yeah.
He didn't like it.
I've done that, but occasionally. But if there's like, if you're waiting around for someone or for someone to be, it's just a good way to, rather than sit in a coffee shop or something, it's just, I enjoyed that movie. And so I just go and watch it again and then keep your eye on the time and off you go. But
where it was a downside for Seb, it was a good side for you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But then I've liked all the Marvel Universe movies, and there's been some real great surprises. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody knew anything about Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was a really, really good movie. Thor Ragnarok, great film. They were really brave with that. So
yeah,
you must have
really
enjoyed
funny.
That. Yeah. Totally, you know, different. And I really like that Marvel would take a risk, you know, and they will push, they would try some different ideas, which I really like, whereas the DC universe is very staid and doesn't really try to, you know, well, let's be dark. Did you see Deadpool, by the way?
Yes, yeah, Deadpool's so funny, isn't it?
You like Deadpool.
Just the stories are clever, but the actual writing of it is just genius.
Do you see Deadpool, Sherry?
I have seen Deadpool. I'm one of those sort of ambivalent people about it. I think it's a bit too much of a boy film for me.
It is a boy film, yeah.
I don't get a lot of the humour isn't my humour. And so I think, and some of the, shall we say, slightly salty language in the version.
Slightly.
It's sort of, I have what I call my inner wincometer. And my wincometer was going into the red on occasion. And there is one particular song that they started singing in the background, and I was thinking, have I heard what I thought I've just heard? And then you say, oh yes, I did hear what I thought I heard, and then it's repeated again and again and again. And so my sort of wincometer is like going, okay, I'm approaching red, I'm in the red.
I think it's kind of that thing that you just don't expect it to, you, and you kind of think, well, it's not really necessary, but sort of in Deadpool, how much of it is actually necessary? So I think
it's
all
part of his character, so you know what you're going to get when you see a Deadpool film, that there are no sort of boundaries, and he does break them, or any boundaries are, he's going to break them. So you know what you're getting, so I knew what I was going to let myself in for. So I was expecting to be entertained in a slightly embarrassed, uncomfortable way.
What did you think of the actual storyline, though?
Oh, I thought it was quite good. Yeah, I enjoyed that. And the fact, you know, he's assembling this sort of like X-Force and they're all horribly incompetent, aren't they?
Sounds like the sort of X-Force I'd assemble.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought it was a good story, well done, but it just wasn't my particular taste of humour. So you know, I accepted that other people would love it, even though I didn't necessarily myself.
Yeah, for me, I just thought it was okay. I thought it was an okay movie. It had moments. I don't think it was as good as the first one. I don't think it was as good as the first movie. Did you see the first?
Yes.
Yeah. And what was your, did you think it, how did it compare to the first one?
I don't know. There were parts of it I thought were better, and then it was very equal, I think. It's a very steady franchise, I think, so.
I loved the after credits. The post credit scenes—they were the best. Yeah, that's one thing with the Marvel movies is you do get a post credit scene, don't you? Or sometimes two post credit scenes.
It seemed to take longer. I found with the Deadpool 2, it seemed to take longer, and then there was more of it, wasn't there? It seemed to go on a lot longer than just sort of the 5-second snippets you normally get.
Yeah. So, but on about movies. Did you see Rampage? Did you get to see Rampage?
No.
No, okay.
All right, sure.
We both liked Rampage, actually, didn't we?
We all liked Rampage.
I went to see it with a friend of mine. Actually, we had a church away day, and we were sat there at lunch saying, we had the afternoon free, and we'd been talking about church business all morning, and I said to my friend, do you want to go to the cinema this afternoon? And I said, I was going to go and see Rampage. And so, yeah, this group of us from church went and saw it.
How cool. Did they enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, loved it.
Because I was thinking, we were talking about the films of the first 6 months, and that is one that particularly sticks in my mind of enjoying. I think I saw that 3 times, possibly 4, because I just really, really enjoyed that movie. It's a great movie. It's just really good fun. And there wasn't the thing, Giant Gorilla. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? But a lot of it worked well, and I know giant creatures are fantasy things, but there wasn't anything really silly in it. Maybe
what's not to love though about Giant Gorilla, The Rock,
yeah, but
running around screaming,
but the story makes sense, how
buildings
it all comes
falling
about.
Back
yeah I know
yeah.
you know, it makes sense with the different areas and what happens to them, whereas yes. I think in some movies that's not really explained. So for me, I just that's my probably my top film this year, I think.
Really?
I would think so. Oh. For me, the most, well, let's put it, the most enjoyable film. And Sharon enjoyed it as well.
Well, I've got a couple I really enjoyed. Completely, again, this goes against my every being. But I really enjoyed Sherlock Gnomes.
Ooh, that's animation.
I know, I only watch one animation a year because that's all on my sort of... I think I'm going to contract diabetes if I see more than one animated film because they're just too sweet for me normally. But I just thought Sherlock Gnomes was just such fun. I think, and it's a genuine family film. I mean, sometimes you get the double entendres or you get the hidden jokes that only the adults get. There weren't any in this. It was genuinely just silly fun. My only quibble, and this was a minor quibble, was that the animation at the end, they had a spring party and they had hydrangeas. They're not spring flowers, I'm sorry.
There's always an anorak.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you would never get bluebells and daffodils and hydrangeas in the same garden.
No, that's it.
But it's, I was just outraged as a gardener.
Yeah, it's funny how if you're into a particular thing, that something like that can really... It's already regretted, but no.
But they kept saying, oh, yeah, it's the first day of spring. And then I looked behind the character saying that. I thought, well, you've got a flowering hydrangea behind you. How is that even possible? So it was just completely nonsense. But no, I really enjoyed it. I thought, well, the voice actors sort of made that they fitted their gnomes. And it was a lot of the original, the same cast who came back from Gnomeo and Juliet. So you know what you're going to get, that it was British, it was silly in places, and it was just fun. So that was one of mine. And I also really liked, I know it's, you know, speaking of my generation, I'm not quite sort of grey pound yet, but I think I'm, you know, graying sterling.
Sterling, yeah.
I'm sort of in that...
Bronze?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, heading, knocking on towards a certain age. I really enjoyed the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society because it was just... for me, it was... I liked the book, and so I do like my books to films adaptions, and it was a film I think you could relax into. You know that there is going to be tension in it, but there's no danger, there's no threat, there's no... It's if you can have a comfortable watch, it's the equivalent of a comfortable watch. So I enjoyed it, and I really... Yeah, I just thought it was, to me, and I went to see it with Sean, and I know you didn't rate it as much, did you?
I didn't rate it as much, but I would have liked to have seen more of the actual... You know, backstory to the girl, because there wasn't a great deal of that, and I would have liked. I was expecting a little bit more of the occupation, you know, to see a little bit more.
I think that nails my number one as well for the first half. Is the Guernsey Literary and Potato Pie Society? Potato Peel Pie Society.
Yeah, and it was a great cast. It's I like my British films, so it's a British film. I do like to support them. I know we've had a few lately that some of the Grey Pound films have been British ones, but I do like watching British films. I like to see my culture reflected on screen. And even though this was like post-war, I still saw elements of my culture in it, which I do like. I mean, I like my fantasy and I like my sort of, you know, giant monsters rampaging around the place, but that's not when I go outside the cinema and walk up, you know, past KFC. That's not my reality. And so sometimes you want to see... Even though, you know, it's just removed from you. You want to see, you hear your own accents, and you want to see the familiar when you go to the cinema as well sometimes. And so I really enjoyed some of the British films that have been out this year.
Yeah, that's it really. I think with films, I was thinking that the British films I enjoy, and probably something to do with age, is like going back to the 70s, like the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, mm-hmm. you know, the recent one of that. It just, and another one of my favourite films, 71. It just... That's an era that I actually remember, you know, like quite grey, and I do enjoy those British movies, you know, like, so yeah, and I enjoy British movies generally, but I think the Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Society anyway, yeah. Whatever, yeah, I mean I still enjoyed it, you know, I didn't hate it, but it wasn't like a...
Right.
Top there.
We'll be back with some of the ones that we really didn't like, the bad and the ugly, after the break.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, for the people, by the people.
Olive White Studio Glass at Arrowton Barnes, Craft Village, is one of the leading British glassmaking studios and has a reputation worldwide. The studio is open 7 days a week and you can come and watch master glassmaker Timothy Harris create his amazing designs. A visit to Isle of Wight Studio Glass also offers an opportunity to purchase a piece of glass that you will treasure for always. You can also buy online at isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk or call us on 522-339.
White Sight is a ride-based spectacle boutique. And here's how it works. You need glasses? Take your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ride. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses. Stockists of Gucci, Dior, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Bans and many more. You'll be spoilt for choice. White Sight's an independent retailer, so you can shop locally and be assured of first-class service and great glasses. Visit them in Cross Street Ride or check them out on www.whitesight.co.uk.
ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mix concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless of course you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
Hello, I'm Kieran Thompson, actor, producer, sound and middle school chess champion 2002. Join me every Sunday on the New Music Show for the best in new tunes. One, two, what you do? From fresh sounds and new beats to the most beautiful songs you've heard all year. To, well, something completely different. So join me, Kieran Thompson, for the island's only show 100% dedicated to new music, Sundays from 7, only on Vectis Radio. Everybody wants
to be famous. Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Indeed, that's us, the island's local station here, Vectis Radio, and I've got the film buffs in. We're doing the movie review show, and we've got Sharon, Sean and Seb. Right, we're doing some ugly ones now, ones that we were not so keen on. I'll say not bad, maybe, but ugly also, yes.
Yeah, I think there's those films where you get a certain level of expectation based on the trailer or based on the hype or just based on your own desire for it to be good, and then you go and watch it and it doesn't just quite deliver. It may not be bad in itself, but it just doesn't deliver or meet your expectations. So for me, that film this year was The Shape of Water. I mean, it got one Oscars and it was quite lauded when it came out, but for me, I felt slightly disappointed in it. I thought I was expecting more than it delivered. I think it's a good film, it just didn't meet my expectation. I was expected to be sort of swept away by the story, and I wasn't. And I was expected to be just, you know, sort of completely caught up in the emotion of this relationship between this sort of strange other being and this lonely woman who herself has sort of got this sort of separateness because of her muteness. But I just felt that it didn't fulfil it in my expectations. There's lots to like about the film, but for me it didn't deliver that chemistry, that sense of wonder, that sense of awe, that sense of enchantment that I was expecting from, you know, what sort of build is like a modern fairy tale, or as a fairy tale and a fable and sort of myth, legend all tied up in all these sort of words that you immediately sort of go, oh, that sounds good. To me, it didn't quite fulfil it.
Yeah, it was one of the films that when I watched the trailer, I didn't see the film itself, but watching the trailer drew me in, and I thought, well, that would be quite good to watch, and I never actually got round to seeing it. But seeing the trailer led me to think it would be a cracking film.
Yeah, and I think that's what my expectation was. I saw it and I thought, oh yeah, it's going to be good. And then it didn't, it wasn't. I was expecting it to be, you know, Princess Bride type, you know, enchanting, and it wasn't on that sort of league at all. Or even the sort of the Pan's Labyrinth, sort of quirky, that sort of draws you in because of its quirkiness. Again, it sort of didn't deliver on that level for me either. So the things I wanted it to be, it wasn't. That's no fault of it. But it just didn't meet what I had built up hoping it to be. So yeah, for me that was my, I don't know if it was an ugly, but it was a disappointment.
Yeah, I didn't mind it too much actually. I thought it was quite a good movie, but then that's the period it was set and things was in. The film that I was most disappointed with was a film called Winchester, which is supposed to be a horror story with ghosts, you know, like the heiress that inherited the Winchester rifle, you know, that famous repeating rifle of the Old West, and everyone that had been killed by a Winchester come to this house, and so you had to build different rooms and all that. Now the trailer looked really good, and I was really, really excited for that, and I was just let down with a big boom. It was awful. It was really, really dull, stupid, and not very good at all. In fact, I'm still waiting to see a really, really good creepy horror movie. I've not seen one in years that is actually... And what's the latest one that was out that they reckoned was going to be...
Ghost Stories, was it?
No, I didn't actually catch that because it wasn't on very long. But no, it's the one that they reckoned was the new... Hereditary.
Place? Oh, no, Hereditary.
Hereditary, yeah. Which was just awful. It was terrible. I thought, yes, this is going to... You know, this is apparently supposed to be the new Exorcist. This is supposed to be great. And it started off. I thought, okay, this is good. First 20 minutes, half an hour, it was pretty good. And then it just dived, totally nosedived. So, yeah, totally disappointed. So, could someone make a decent horror movie without all the clichés? I want something new, want something interesting, you know? So that's my bad ones. Yeah. You got any bad ones, Seb?
Seb.
I wouldn't call it necessarily bad, but disappointing, I think, was Ready Player One. I was...
Controversial.
I don't know. I wasn't completely blown away by the trailer of it, but I thought it's... I think it's Spielberg, isn't it?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, okay, so great director, go see it, you know, should be good. And it just lacked a lot, I felt. It just seemed a bit silly, this idea of completing these quests and then all of the action happens over, like, 2 days and actually it's taken them years to... and got nowhere, and then it all suddenly happens. And a lot of it was quite silly and it could have been done better.
I think this movie was just purely aimed at a certain generation, an 80s generation, because it was just so exciting, and there was so much in there for someone who, you know, we've often talked about decades and when you grow up. I mean, you know, my father, God bless him, he used to like Life of a Bengal Lancer and The Adventures of Robin Hood and all those. And you know, it doesn't matter what age you are, I think there's just something. And my mate Joe was like jumping up with joy because I went to see it with him first. I watched it a couple of times and he was just like, yes, this is amazing, this is everything, every toy I had, every, you know. So I guess it's like a generation thing, which was quite interesting as you go back to Love, Simon, you know. It's like I feel that's probably a really a groundbreaking film for your generation. Whereas Ready Player One was like, probably I was a little bit too old for that, but I could understand why. You know,
I think that's
all Spielberg related.
We understood a lot of the references, you know. I think The Shining, Kong, there were so many sort of games in there that we still just about had in our childhood. And then I think it just because you couldn't relate to all of it like perhaps you could, wasn't. But yeah, it didn't grab you.
It didn't give you that, like, back to your younger years, you know, when you were like, yeah, I remember that, I remember these silly games, you know, and Gundam and all, and there was just so much in there. There was even, and the greatest thing was, there was, like, Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. There was a film, you must have seen that, did you, Shan? With and there's like the troglodyte and the in that. And then, but the best was, there's a film called 20 Million Miles to Earth. Ray Harryhausen used to do all the, and there's this creature in it that grows really, really fast. You must have seen that one as well, haven't you, Shan? Do you remember? It starts off really small and then just goes really big. And it's called the Ymir, and, you know, and everybody's like, oh, look, there's the Ymir. So it was great. So it was, I think it was everything Spielberg grew up with, which would have been, because he's roughly, I think, about the same age as me. So there was a lot of that, and then there was a lot of the 80s retro stuff for the next generation. So, but
I think it is film viewing is very much a generational thing.
Definitely,
I mean, the films that I really rate are ones that I was watching in my 20s, like 2001, A Space Odyssey, Jaws, films right back then, which were the ones that I saw as a 20-year-old.
Yes, yeah, no, I agree. I think that particular, when you're into your movies, you know, you really like that, because, like, Joe, we go back to Joe, he's a sort of generation, he was Jurassic World, Ghostbusters, and I didn't really get Ghostbusters when it came out, because I think I was a little bit too old for that, where I could understand it.
Yeah, because I'm part of that, I call us like the video generation, so the VHS generation. I was in my teens, that's when we used to have all-day video parties, when everyone suddenly, for the first time, had home video players, and then there were video shops started to pop up. So in my childhood, in the 70s, it was, you went to the cinema, you caught a film, or you caught it on re-release, because in the 70s, you'd still, when a film was released, it would come around again. So if you missed it the first time it came to the cinema, because there's no other way of watching it, you would catch it the next time it came out, or the third time it came out. Or I remember watching Star Wars at the cinema four or five times over a number of years, because it just would come around again. So if there's no new releases, they just kept circulating older films.
And you get double bills as well.
Double bill movies. I went to see Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back on a double bill. And then I saw Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi on a double bill.
The thing I always remember were Disney movies. When Disney movies come out, didn't that, when they, whatever year they come out, there would just be loads of people. They'd normally bring them out in a half term, wouldn't they?
That's
in
right.
School holidays. Yep. And there would just be people queued to go and watch a Disney movie. And then, like, say...
Yeah, because you just had no other way of watching it.
Watching it, no.
And so my childhood was the re-releases. But then the sort of the DVD, the video age dawned when I was hit my teens. So a lot of the... So my teen viewing was basically this sort of binge video watching. And so I was part of that, you know, Breakfast Club, that sort of Brat Pack type. That was my sort of teen years, watching Dirty Dancing endlessly, watching, you know, Breakfast
Pretty
Club.
Pretty Woman.
Watching. I didn't like Pretty Woman.
Oh, good. Another one.
But I loved all those, you know, with Ali Sheedy and all those sort of films. And so that was sort of my sort of film roots were in the mid-80s, really. But it was more, not as much cinema, but it was more about VHS.
It was VHS.
And getting the video stores.
We could all record off the telly as well.
Yep.
I remember the first video, it was a huge thing. It would be like
a suitcase.
With great big buttons that you go, clodonk. And you'd push them down. You'd have to push the record and the play together, like the old cassettes. And there were two sorts, weren't there? VHS and Betamax.
That's it.
So good old days, really. I think some of those VHS cassettes are worth some money.
I've got some in the shed. I'll have a look.
I think there's one or two. You know, I wouldn't say all of them, but I think just like collector's editions, like, because there was a lot of trash release, wasn't there? A lot of movies that you probably wouldn't.
I actually still got a few that I bought from the video shop when it closed down. I went and bought some of them, because some of these films never got released on to personally own videos, so you had to get the ex-rental copy. So I must admit, I've still got a few ex-rentals, because you can't get them in any other medium at all. They just don't exist. Yeah. I remember one film I loved in the 80s called Eddie and the Cruisers.
Ah.
I loved it.
You've still got that.
I've still got the ex-rental copy of it at home, because it's never, ever been on DVD.
No. Well,
never will be.
I think it's a great film. It's a war film. It's like Vietnam war film. It's called Crossbone Territory, and it cost me £1, I think, in a pound shop or something like that. And you can find it on MBD, but you just can't get it on DVD. You can't get it. So I've got this VHS cassette sitting there that I would love. I haven't got a video player, but I've often thought about going to one of these shops and seeing if they can transfer it, because it's just such an unusual movie that I haven't seen, you know.
Hmm. And that was it. You mentioned video rental shops. That was the thing you did on a Friday or a Saturday evening.
Yeah.
You went down there and you stood like a library and you looked round at all the different titles and thought, "Do I know? Oh, no. We're, no.
Yeah, what do we want?"
There'd be a big family argument about what we're going to actually have.
Yeah, just
in the
browsing endlessly. Yeah, you could go. And some of them, I remember like Blockbusters in Newport, which is down at the bottom near Sainsbury's, isn't it? It was huge. You could be in there for an hour. Just going from, you go to the new releases, then you go to the top 100 or whatever, and then it was like, if it was on the A to Z, you knew that you were really struggling if you got as far as the A to Z.
Yeah, and they gradually, like, the new releases were quite expensive to rent, weren't they? And then gradually, after they'd been in the, you get like, oh, rent 3 for 5 nights for a fiver, you know? But it's great, it was good, it was funny.
And now the only place you can rent a DVD is the library.
Yeah. Right.
It seems extraordinary, doesn't
that's
it?
That's right, that that's very true.
Yeah, if you want to just borrow it, you don't want to buy it. The library's the only place on the island you can get it.
I'm just going to mention a quirky film that a number of you saw. I didn't, simply because I've got a viewer's audience critique on it. Isle of Dogs.
Oh, yeah, Isle of Dogs. Yeah, really, really good movie. Really enjoyed this movie. It was really different. The animation was great. It was just a really, really strange story of a young lad that goes onto this island because all the dogs have been put on this island, and they just, like, they adopt him. The dogs adopt him.
I loved it because of the title, and the audience review on that was Isle of Dogs.
Vex's Radio, FM 104.6.
Vex's Radio, 104.6. The heart.